Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with different issues in our culture, locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing the show. Thank you, listeners, for joining me on a weekly basis. Many thanks to my friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry for your continued sponsorship of the show, now running over 20 years. And it's been so much fun to do this on one of the nation's great stations, the blowtorch of the South, WBT. Well, Ed Billick is my producer, and we have over the last several months had to have our shows basically between ourselves because we can't have people in studio with us because of the COVID crisis. But it's been rather fun, and we've enjoyed it a lot. One of the things we particularly enjoyed doing is looking at my book. It's just come out, called Moving Beyond Anxiety, and the purpose of the book was to try to give 12 practical suggestions for overcoming fear and anxiety. Interestingly, I wrote the book about a year and a half ago, not knowing that COVID and the racial riots and other tensions would be in our culture now. I did certainly look ahead and think that when it comes out, it's going to be a 2020 election year, which causes its own stress upon a nation. But interestingly, too, I did not know about those other particular problems. So it is relevant. If you'd like to get it, go to Amazon.com and you can easily order it. I think it's a good book that just gives some practical suggestions on how to renew your mind, because the battle for fear and anxiety, folks, is in your thought life. It's how you think. And we had this past week, Ed, Governor Cooper announced that now we're going to have stage two up until September the 11th. And I can't help but think a lot of people out there just did a collective gasp of, oh, no, 5 more weeks of this. And the truth is, we don't know what's going to happen even after September the 11th. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a major event planner in this area. He said every event has been shut down until January 1st, 2021.
Well, it's a new year, right, David? So everything will be okay.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, I don't think people really realize the fact that this thing lingers and lingers and lingers. And we look into the future and we think, good heavens, when in the world is this thing going to lift?
Well, the good news is there are vaccines out there that are being tested among tens of thousands of people, so we hear. So hopefully that will help.
Well, I hear my dad's voice, who went to heaven years ago, but he kept saying to me over and over again, and in times like this, my favorite verse in the Bible, son, is this, "And it came to pass." You know, you look back over your life, Ed, and my life, we've lived a good number of years on this side of eternity, on this planet, and it does pass, doesn't it? I mean, things do eventually move on, and that's why I try to give people hope and say to them all the time, if the sun comes up in the morning, there's always hope. Life does keep moving forward. We do keep moving forward with life, and eventually these things do pass.
And there are certain things in life, too, that we're tested, you know, and is it God's will to be tested? I don't know, did God cause this? No. But we are tested to see how we can handle certain situations.
Yeah, you know, the purpose of a test is to know if you know the information. That all of us have test anxiety from our elementary, middle school, high school, college, post-grad years. And the purpose, though, of a test, and we had to take a test at every level of our education, is to see if we know the information. And I don't think God caused COVID, but I do think God uses COVID to see if our faith is really strong, because God wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, Thomas first wanted to touch Jesus' wounds in order to believe if he was really resurrected from the dead. And Jesus appeared to him, and he never, it seems, let him touch him. But he did say to Thomas, "You have seen and now believe, but blessed are those who have not seen yet still believe." And many of us haven't seen the end of this. We haven't seen the evidence of our faith. We just believe it because we just know God's in control, and we have to go there in order for our anxieties to abate.
You know, one of my concerns is so many people have been away from church, from Mass now. You know, the new normal on Sundays is, do you really watch it on TV or virtual, or maybe not at all? So getting people back into churches or helping with their faith life, David, this show helps people in the absence of that.
Well, thank you. We've actually had people call us and tell us that they use this as a part of their Sunday worship, and I think that's important, and we're grateful to be able to do this on News Talk 1110 WBT here from 8 to 9 on Sunday mornings. And hopefully it helps people grow in their faith and allows them to sustain their lives as they continue to move forward.
So when we come back from the break, what are we going to do today?
Well, I want to look at another chapter in my book. And again, it's 12 Practical Strategies for Overcoming Anxiety. The belief is we are what we think. Romans 12:2, Paul said, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So one of the ways, Ed, I've learned that I can really make my thought life stronger and more powerful is by singing, is by music. And you and I both love music. We've talked about that a lot. And I want to teach people how singing and music can be a great weapon to defeat fear in our lives and grow our faith.
Will you be singing for us?
I will not do that.
I've never heard
you sing. I will not do that. I'll spare our listeners that awful sound, but I will teach them some wonderful things from the scripture about the power of song. And you'll join me as well, Ed Billick. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We'll be right back. And that's what we want to really do, is to fill us with the hope of God, so that our hearts can be filled with hope and not anxiety. As we continue to have to deal with the COVID-19 crisis, now our governor tells us stage 2 through September the 11th. Collective sigh as all of us continue to march through these very weird times, along with the racial tensions, along with a presidential year, election. Wow. There's much anxiety all around us, and I want to teach you how to control your thought life so that you can have faith in your hearts and not anxiety. Because the truth is, you are what you think. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And another verse in the Bible, take every thought captive. Another one, whatever is pure and excellent and good and honorable, etc. Think on these things. The focus of your thought life will cause you to feel what you feel. So if you're feeling a lot of anxiety today, folks, examine your thought life. What are you putting into your mind? Are you filling yourself with social media and everybody else's opinion of this world that causes you to feel like, oh, no, don't do that. Fill your thoughts with God's thoughts, thoughts of faith, hope, and love. And when you do that, your feelings will soon thereafter follow. And one of the things that you can do in order to control your thought life that will then make your feelings feel great is to learn how to practice the beauty of positive singing. You heard me rightly, singing. Music is a gift from God. Music was God's idea. When you really think about how harmonies come together, beautiful pieces of music that thrill the soul, have you ever asked yourself the question, well, where did that come from? Did some mysterious tribe deep in the heart of Africa one day figure out music and then pass that on to all the other cultures around? No, every culture has music. Every culture has song. And when you learn how to sing positive thoughts, when you learn how to sing thoughts of faith, you can then have feelings of anxiety start to abate. Music is a great gift from God, and it is a way we can defeat anxiety. And that's what I want to talk about on the program today. Are you aware that there are over 400 references to music in the Bible? Over 400. And are you aware that there are over 50 commands in the Bible to sing unto the Lord? Sing a new song. Over 50, not suggestions, folks, but commands to sing. Now you say to me, David, I can't sing. I say to you, then lift up a joyful noise to the Lord. There's just something powerful in even mouthing the words of a song, because you're trying to take those words of faith, those words of love, those words of hope, and put them deeply into your heart. When you do, your feelings of anxiety start to abate, and those feelings of faith, hope, and love start to enlarge themselves. So today, let's talk about the beauty of music, the beauty of song, and how singing can be an antidote to fear and anxiety.
You know, as children, we opened the segment here with Fill Me, O God. As kids that are singing, we learned in grade school, we learned kindergarten, we learned from our parents. Our parents would sing to us, whether they be nursery rhymes or music of church music, we learned to sing. And all of that then reflect. We think about those days as we think about our childhood, and it was all part of our upbringing.
The other day, my daughter Bethany, it's hard to believe she has five children now, she has chosen to homeschool, and so this COVID crisis and school shutdown hasn't really affected her because she's been training her kids since day one. Two things, how to learn, but also how to learn things about God. She had taught her four children, because one's a baby, all of Isaiah chapter 61, which is one of the most powerful chapters in the Bible. She taught the entire chapter to her children by pulling together a musical piece. Now, my family has some musical giftedness. I didn't get much of it. I got more athletic gifts. My brother Howard is incredible, full voice scholarship to college. My dad had a chance to go on Broadway. So Bethany, I think, got some of that. And so she devised a song, and she had all her four children who could learn to do it sing that song, and within a day, they memorized an entire chapter of the Bible. And they'll be able to sing that song with that scripture in their hearts for the rest of their days. When they're confronted with anxiety, and I'd have all our listeners, please go to Isaiah 61 and read that chapter. It's a wonderful chapter about faith, hope, and love. So the kids in their lives in the future will be able to face anxiety with that song in their heart. When the fear comes, they start singing that song, and guess what happened? Fear then flees. Music is a powerful instrument. And even secular songs, like you and I both love Motown, Ed. We were brought up with that. We love to sing it.
Yep.
Do you remember this song? When you are down and out, sing a song. It'll make you better. Earth, Wind, and Fire. They sang that song. It was a huge success. But again, listen to those words. When you're down and out, sing a song. It'll make you better. There's something even in a non-faith-filled world that knows singing is a powerful antidote to worry.
Well, singing and music and puts you in a different place. It puts you in mentally and almost physically in a different place. People listen to the radio in a car, or whether you're in church or patriotic singing during the holidays, it puts you in a different place.
Well, here's a question I have for you. Have you ever experienced what's called commonly an earworm? I'll ask that to our listeners as well. What's an earworm? Do you know what it is, Ed?
Sure, absolutely.
It's when a song gets into your head and it just won't leave. It's there all day long.
Now I'm going to do something for young parents right now, and they're going to probably write in. How about Baby Shark? You ever heard Baby Shark?
I have indeed.
Now with my grandson, I hear that and I can hum it the rest of the day. I'm not going to do it to folks right now.
But gets into your head.
That earworm, sure.
Oh, it's a great illustration of that. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, those kind of songs get into your head. And, you know, I watched the Tom Hanks movie about Mr. Rogers a couple of months ago. And, you know, he was on the subway riding one time. And all of a sudden, one person looked at him and said, "Hey, you're Mr. Rogers." And Tom Hanks' character said, "Yes, I am." And then all of a sudden, one person started singing, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful..." And then everybody on the subway started in on it. And they're all laughing and singing, and he's just honored by it as he's singing along with them. But it's a great example.
Hey, folks, you just heard, he can carry a tune.
Carry a tune, maybe. Not much more than that. But again, the power of singing is there in that illustration among many, many others. Ed, are you aware that there have been secular studies done that if you'll just sing 15 to 20 minutes a week with another group of people, if you'll just get together and sing some of those oldies songs or songs that you love, anxiety decreases exponentially just by the power of singing with other people. So when you think about that in a concert, for example, folks love to go to concerts with other people. They'll sing for a couple of hours all those favorite songs that they have in their heads through the years because of that particular band or soloist. When you think about worship, that really is what we do each week. We come together and either with a worship format that has three separate hymns or a worship format that more and more are adopting, they start out their service with about 15 minutes of singing. Scientists have said, proven by fact, that if you sing publicly with other people, anxiety is reduced. Maybe God knew that that's why we're supposed to come together, and he commands us over 50 times in the Bible, sing a new song, sing unto the Lord. There's something powerful when we sing.
Do you have examples of in the Bible where that is?
I sure do. One that comes to mind is Acts, the 16th chapter. Paul is imprisoned in the city of Philippi. He's with his companion in ministry named Silas, and they're chained to a Roman prison wall. And then at midnight, what do they start doing? They start singing unto the Lord. They just start lifting up praise songs unto the Lord. And suddenly there's an earthquake that shakes the foundation of the prison, loosens their prison chains, and they walk out of the prison free. And many people have used that as an illustration of the power of praise, even in the midst of a huge problem, that it not only shakes us free from the particular environment of prison that we're in, but sets us free emotionally. So that's a great illustration biblically of you're in a huge problem. It's dark. It's dank. You're chained. You're a prisoner. And then suddenly you just praise God. You lift up your songs of praise, and it shakes those chains free so that you can walk out of the prison cell with a new song in your heart. And it happens over and over and over again. In the book of Colossians, Paul instructs the people in the church at Colossae to sing. And then he tells them what to sing. I think he knows, too, another way that music is so powerful in our lives is it helps us memorize words. Ed, you just mentioned how as a kid you sang songs that you still remember today. Many of us do. And our Sunday school teachers, our school teachers would have us sing in order to remember certain truths, like, again, what my daughter Bethany has done with her four children.
As a child, we had a friend across the street, a little older maybe, he'd love to listen to oldies. And I'm thinking, what? Listen to today's music, not oldies. But now as an older person, I love listening to older music because it takes you back into time. It instills a memory or a thought or where you were, what you did. You know, whether it be your own wedding or the birth of your child or wherever, music just sticks. It's a time to rejoice and reflect, I think.
Well, you know, you were talking with me off air before the program began about dancing with your daughter at her wedding, and you'll never forget the song that you chose to dance with her at her wedding. Same with me. I chose that song, and my daughter Bethany and I danced a long dance with great memories flooding my brain. But I remember to this day that song, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. It's Stephen Curtis Chapman's Cinderella. And then now when I hear it, I'll always remember her wedding day, which was just joyous and beautiful and everything else.
The connections of song to memory. And when you control your thought life, folks, you can control your anxieties. Replace your fears with faith. And when that anxiety floods your brain, all of a sudden start singing a song of faith, something that you've planted there years before. And when you do so, especially with other people, your anxiety starts to abate. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear the program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from beginning to end in its entirety. Talking about how to overcome fear, how to overcome anxiety. I've written a book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's 12 practical suggestions for renewing your mind. If you'd like to get it, you can go to Amazon.com and other outlets that will have the book available for you. It's been a wonderful opportunity for me to try to help people address fears and anxieties in our world, especially as we just heard our governor say, now, stage two, until September the 11th. This COVID problem keeps going on and on. It's the gift that won't stop giving and doesn't seem to have any end in place. And also we have a 2020 election year that causes all kinds of fears and anxieties in our hearts, plus the racial tensions. It's just a very interesting time in which to live. So you can let your heart be filled with fear, or you can let your heart be filled with faith. It's your choice. And I believe with all of my heart, one of the ways that you can overcome fear is by practicing the power of music in your life, practicing the power of singing in your life. When you sing songs of faith and you get them deeply embedded in your heart, when fear comes, you can just start singing those songs of faith. And amazingly, interestingly, secular studies have proven it, but we just know it to be true in the scripture and in our faith walk. Faith will replace fear. Fear will start to go away when you sing songs of faith. My producer and friend Ed Billick has an open mic with me. And Ed, we were talking about before this segment how your family practiced music, and you have a great illustration from your own father.
A lot of us with ethnic backgrounds, and whether whatever race or backgrounds we are, my dad and his brother would get together and play with tamburicins, and that's a Croatian kind of guitar, and they'd sing Croatian music because their father came from Croatia. They did that as children, and in a way of honoring their dad, they would play Croatian music, and it was always special. Me and my brother and sisters would look at each other and laugh a little bit. But now when we hear those songs, reminds us of our dad.
So let me ask you a question. In your heart, when you hear those songs, does your heart become filled with faith or fear?
Oh, faith, of course.
Does it bring back good memories or bad memories?
Wonderful memories.
And does your heart get warmed when you hear those
Absolutely.
Songs?
Absolutely.
That's the point. See. The point I'm trying to make, folks, is when you sing those powerful, positive songs, they increase memories in your heart that allow faith to grow.
And then when you sing faith-based songs,
so much more so.
But it's a way of praying, too.
Exactly. Yes, indeed it is. And most often those faith songs are straight from the Bible, so you're memorizing God's word through song. My daughter Bethany, when she was young, dealt with what we, Marilyn and I, called fret flies. She was anxious. She was just an anxious little girl. And we kept thinking, well, how can we help her overcome her fret flies, is what we called them, with her. And she would identify them. So she started memorizing songs. She loved music, singing those songs. We had a little cassette tape recorder by her bed that would play Christian songs all night long, and she would memorize them. So she started singing those songs to defeat the fret flies. Guess what happened? Over time, the fret flies started dying off, and those songs of faith were replaced in her heart. I see her doing the same thing with her children today, as I alluded earlier in the show. And what's so interesting is she just doesn't deal much with anxiety anymore at all, because she's learned the power of music and song straight from the scripture, especially to defeat the fret flies, to defeat those awful, evil, negative, fearful thoughts that want to come into her mind. And Ed, you know, I remember at my dad's funeral, my dad loved to sing. As I mentioned earlier, he had a chance to go on Broadway, and we had music be a part of our home regularly. But he would sing hymns of faith around the house all the time. And he had one that he particularly loved called The Church's One Foundation. We sang it a lot in worship. And interestingly, when Dad died, that was the song I chose to be a part of his worship service. Guess what? I remember every word. The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride, and with his blood he bought her, and for her life he died. I mean, that got into my head because we sang it over and over and over again in worship, because Dad sang it around the house. And to this day, I can repeat those words about the beauty and value of the church because I sang those words regularly in worship and at home with my mom and dad.
And with that, the melody that is just in the back of your mind, as you were saying.
The
as you were saying those words, I was humming it.
Is Jesus Christ her Lord? Yeah, it gets into your mind. And that is, again, the beauty of music. God created music as an instrument to help us have memories that are warm, have faith fill our hearts. Music's so powerful. And it's a way to pray. So many of the songs that are Christian-oriented are simply prayers that are put to music. So, folks, if you have anxiety and you're worried about COVID-19, you're worried about the election, you're worried about the race riots, you're worried about the finances that have been stripped away from us because of the crisis, you've got to go to song as a way of replacing fear with faith. And just go to a song you love. Maybe it's even a secular song that makes your heart feel warm. But if it's a Christian song or a faith-filled song that allows your heart to rejoice, please do so, because music is a powerful way to overcome fear.
When my dad passed away in 1987, shortly thereafter, Mike and Mechanics came out with that song, In the Living Years. And John Hancock here on WBT during his Father's Day show used that song a lot. Now, every time I hear that song, I say a prayer for my dad because I'm thinking about him and thinking, yeah, I told him I loved him, but he died much too young. So the music just ties to those different life-changing things. I think it's a way the Lord intervenes sometimes, says, hey, let me lift you up. And all of a sudden you hear a song, you start humming a song.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Psalm 96, 1 and 2. You know, in these two verses alone, we're told three times to sing unto the Lord. Not optional, a command, the power of song in our lives. And you asked earlier about some biblical examples. Here are a few more. Exodus 15, after the parting of the Red Sea, the Israelites are on the other side. The Egyptians have been killed with the waters being tossed over them by God. And Miriam, Moses' sister, leads the whole people in songs of praise. In fact, Exodus 15 is a long song of praise where Miriam, Moses' sister, led that with a tambourine. And you can just imagine her as a worship leader doing so. King David was a skilled musician. Not only did he play a stringed instrument, he also wrote many of the Psalms. And the Psalms really are Israel's worship book. They were never intended to be read. They were more intended to be sung, which was a way people could memorize the Psalms as they were put to music. David also loved using different orchestral instruments. Along with the lute and the harp, he wanted trumpets and tambourines, pipe instruments, and loud clashing cymbals to accompany the music that he wrote. That's Psalm 150. He wanted everything that had breath to sing praises to the Lord. We also see when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem, he gathered together a huge choir that stood on the walls. And what did? They sang all the day praises to God, worshiping him because the wall had been completed. Weekly worship for the Jews always had lots of music and singing. On one occasion, when King Jehoshaphat faced a formidable foe, there was little hope that he could win. How did he decide to fight the battle? He commanded that his army be led by singers in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21. Do you know what happened? Ed, the enemy fled. They ran away. The Israelites then collected the multiple aspects of booty left behind all around them. It was worship and singing that caused the enemy to flee. And I know that's something that God wants all of us to learn about the power of song. You'll love this one with your Catholic background. When Mary learned she would carry and give birth to the Christ child, she wrote and sang a song called the Magnificat, Luke 1, 46 through 55. It was a profound song of faith and praise. And I wonder if she sang this song as she watched her beloved son Jesus die on the cross.
And then the angels in heaven sang songs of praise during the Christmas story.
They came to the shepherds and they sang glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. As a part of the Christmas story as well, Simeon lifted praises to God when he realized who Jesus was. He'd waited so long for God's Messiah to come. Finally, he had seen him. In response, he composed a song known as the Nunc Dimittis, or the Song of Simeon. That's in Luke 2, 29 through 32. The reality of Jesus just had to be sung about. And I wonder if Simeon sang this song regularly for the rest of his life as a reminder of God's goodness to him and all of God's people. Then, of course, we've already talked about how Paul and Silas sang at midnight when they're in prison and the chains broke off their wrists. We have so many examples, Ed, in the Bible of God telling us to sing and the power of song. So listeners today, if you're filled with a little bit of anxiety and you're wondering what in the world's going on in this world, sing a song to the Lord. Find some song of faith that you love. Sing it over and over again. Get those words into your heart. And you guess what will happen? Faith will start to flee. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Ed Billick, my friend and producer, that's one of, if not your favorite Christian song.
I tell you what, if I'm walking or taking a stroll through the woods, earbuds, this song's a prayer.
Yeah.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say,
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, everybody, sing with us. Blessed be the glorious name. You know where it comes from? It's from the book of Job. And when Job was going through his trials, and when he finally got delivered in chapter 42, it's the whole idea of bless your name, Lord, whether I'm in the valley or on the mountaintop, when I'm in a tough time or a great time, I'm going to learn how to praise you and sing songs to you no matter what's going on in my life, because there's just power in praise. You know, when we're on top of the mountain, it's easy to praise God. You know, when everything's going okay, it's easy to sing the songs of joy. It's when we're in the valleys that we need to learn also to sing those songs, because there's something powerful in singing words of faith. And that particular artist is singing the word of God. And it's in your heart. It's in my heart. I love that song as well, Ed.
Yeah, Tree 63. And it lifts you up. It lifts you up. It puts you in a different place. It changes your mood, if you will.
You know, we said earlier that secular studies have proven if we'll just get together with other people and sing 15 to 20 minutes one time a week, it lifts your spirits and causes anxiety to decrease. One of the real problems with the COVID crisis is that we can't get together. I mean, some places allow it to happen in small groups, but we can't have that large group of getting together with other believers and having times of singing and praise, which I think, again, cause anxiety to decrease. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Do not forsake the gathering together of believers." Now, we're doing the online stuff. You know, the church I pastor, Moments of Hope Church, has two online services at 9 and 11. And I understand we've had 30,000 people watch every month. And that's extraordinary because, you know, people are able now to watch online from all over the country, all over the world that weren't possibly able to beforehand. So that's a good thing. There's been more outreach and more ability to touch people's lives through online. Some people have called that the new Roman road. You know, Rome was allowed all of the early church world to be connected by their roads. And that was one of the reasons Paul was able to take the gospel all over the world like he did. People say now online is the new Roman road. We're now allowed to go into places we never would have been allowed to go into and preach the gospel. But, Ed, with all of that truth, with all of those incredible numbers, and it's not just my church that's experiencing that, a lot of other churches are experiencing the large numbers watching online. Still, though, Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake the gathering together of believers." There's something important in just being together with other people, worshiping, praying, and singing songs of faith.
We're intended to be in community, as we say, in Eucharist. That's what we are designed to be.
Yeah.
Whether God with Jesus with his disciples and such, I mean, there's always community, always groups of believers.
Yeah, you know, there was all those one another's in the Bible. Love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, confess your sins to one another. And you can't do those one another's that are commands in the Bible unless you're with one another. So that's part of the isolation problem that we're experiencing with COVID. So, Lord, I just pray that some way, somehow, we can have this crisis lift, and we can come back together in our different communities of faith.
But in the meantime, with you and your families,
yeah,
at the dinner table,
great
and around
point,
the house.
Great I mean, point.
What a way to reinforce what you did with your daughter.
Yeah, moms and dads, bring your children together and sing songs of faith. As you watch online, sing those songs loudly with your kids. Let them see that music's important to you, and they'll want that same kind of desire in their hearts. Pray with them. Have community among your family members. And if you don't have family members here, connect with other people as best you can via the phone, via online, but just make sure you don't isolate, because isolation sickness can cause all kinds of anxiety to increase. Come together quickly because we need each other. Lord, that's our prayer today. And I pray that all of us will learn how to use the power of song in our midst, because music is beneficial to the soul. It stimulates good physical, mental, and spiritual health, and it can soothe the most anxious heart. Many of the people in the Bible used music to express praise to God and conquer giants in their lives. Singing is thoughts put to music. sing God's thoughts, memorize the truths in God's Word, and proclaim them through song. And as you do, you'll drive those truths deeply into your heart and soul. You'll sing them every day all through your week, and you'll sing them hopefully soon with other worshipers in your faith community. And when the enemy attacks, counterpunch by lifting up songs of praise from God's Word. Doing this has aided countless people through the centuries. It will work for you as well, and for your kids and all God's people everywhere. Anxiety need not ransack your heart anymore, folks. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Would you join me all in prayer, folks? Over the past 5 months since this COVID crisis hit, WBT's allowed me the privilege to end this show with prayer. Ed, would you join me as well?
Absolutely.
As we pray to the Lord our thoughts. Father in heaven, and I call you Daddy because, Jesus, you called your Father in heaven Abba, which is a colloquial Aramaic expression which means Daddy. Daddy, I pray to you today. You're my loving, kind, good Daddy. That you, in Jesus' name, would come minister to me and Ed and every listener out there right now. I pray that, Lord, you would put their frets, their worries, their anxieties and fears to sleep. I pray, Lord, you would come and help all of us sing a new song unto you. That we would take the words of the great hymns of the faith, the words of new Christian songs, the words of the Word of God put to music, and we would sing them over and over and over again until they are indelibly etched upon our hearts. Lord, you are good, and your mercies endure forever. As fear knocks on the heart of all of our lives, we absolutely refuse to let it enter. We will take that fearful thought captive, and we will usher it out of our minds, and we will replace it with your word. You are our shepherd, therefore we will not want. You make us lie down in green pastures. You place us before still waters. You restore our soul. You are a good shepherd who gives to us every good gift, and we believe you'll take care of our next moment, our next hour, and this day. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You will give us this day our daily bread. You will provide for all of us every single need that we have. You promise to do so. So, Lord, as we end this show and I end this prayer, I pray that everyone would hold their hands out and receive from you the gift of faith. We don't need to worry about anything. If we're shelter in place for another 5 weeks, so be it. But we'll call people, text people, and love people because we're called to love you and love our neighbor. When we do so, this world is a better place to live, and hope increases in our hearts today and forever. It's in your name, Lord, I pray this. Amen. All friends, I look forward to talking with you all next week.